So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashioned. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. The cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces.
December 13th, Sunday, 2020. Thank you for joining me today. Today is going to be focused entirely on the vaccine discussion. And of course, PCR test plays into that discussion on the illusion of what's really happening today. And I always hesitate before I say this because I feel like I always don't live up to it, but it'd probably be a shorter show than usual. But almost every time I say that, I feel like it ends up being longer because of that. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. I think today is ultimately going to be shorter than usual for those that don't like the extra long shows. But a lot of important stuff to talk about today, but let's get right into it. And this is in regard to all the same things that we're always getting into here, but specifically in regard to the vaccine, in regard to the side effects, and in regard to the what I call the sidestep in the title, in a way we've all seen them say the severe, or rather I should say that they put it out in ways that I doubt everyone has seen, but the idea that we should have all seen that they're telling us there will be severe side effects. That for 3 days and lots of people will get them, but it's all because it's for your own good. But now they're saying, oh, but now we're going to get side effects that will probably be attributed to this that won't be because of it, which I could almost guarantee that will be the case. But that does not mean that we should pretend all the things that start happening are because of that illusion, which is what they're building. They're trying to cover up this information. And as always, I will bring it to you for you to look at it, think for yourself, not just hear what I have to say. Not just hear what any other independent media have to say, but you actually read the science and decide for yourself, which any free individual should have the right to do. To start off really quickly, I wanted to give a good quick shout out to a show I did today. I actually just began the first Rockfin exclusive show I did with Robert Inlakesh today. Funny enough, I meant to do this weeks ago, as I think people saw on Twitter. Long story short, I had a few guests in a row sort of cancel last minute because everything was going on. And so I decided to have Robert on today. It will most likely be every Saturday going forward. I'm not sure exactly what this will be, whether it'll be a casual kind of conversation show or I don't know. I thought about calling it debunked and just covering all the things that ultimately they claim are debunked but aren't. I mean, there's so many things we could do. But look forward to that. Join Rockfin if you want to see these shows in particular, because they will only be on Rockfin. It was a great discussion. For those on the podcast, it's entitled Impending Iranian, in quotations, Cyber Bio Attack and Israeli Normalization Deals. It's a great discussion, and I really hope you will check it out. Robert does absolutely stellar work. Now, to start off, as you may have seen in the intro here, which I will play again, by the way, Klaus Schwab saying that we are not going back to normal. You know, that whole thing that they keep wanting you to believe, so you do what they tell you you need to do. He openly says in this clip that we will not go back to normal. And that's a fallacy. That is simply not the case. That we'll go back to what they want to create as that new normal, but not the normal that you see in your mind. But don't stop that from having all the politicians out there tell you repeatedly that that's what it will cause, so they get you to do what they want you to do in order to achieve their totalitarian goals. But here's as I commented on this, but hurry up then and take your experimental injection so we can not go back to normal? Where's the logic? Remember what I said in the very beginning of all this. If you knew that all of these COVID restrictions would never go away, even if you believe they were right for the moment because we're sick or whatever your logic is, if you knew, regardless of why and how, if these would never go away, and that for the rest of your life you would be living in the way we are right now, would you still be supporting them right now? I argue no. Well, here we are, 10 months later. This is the new normal. This is what's happening. This is how they were able to achieve this control. And here is the non-scientist, non-doctor, unelected official telling you that this is what's going to be your future. And I also wanted to show, before we get into the vaccine discussion right off the bat, something that I found to be very telling about the reality of what's really going on out there. Not what the media tells you people think, not what they show you the majority is, but what really is happening. 2 million views. 2 million views on this video, this clip. Somebody sent this to me in an email. What is it? 7 second clip? This shows a guy with the Department of Justice stepping out. He didn't realize that he was on camera from somebody's phone while he was technically backstage. And you will see how he gets handed this mask because he didn't have one. Puts it on in a very uncomfortable fashion, fumbling with the mask, touching it all over, which, by the way, most doctors would say means it's no longer useful, but let's pretend like we don't care about all the facts. And then he puts it on just to walk out onto the stage, acting like he's been wearing it because, you know, we're all being safe. Oh, and let me take it off so I can speak to you guys. That is what's called an illusion, ladies and gentlemen. Think of it like the illusion of anything we talk about, the illusion of democracy, the illusion of left or right. This is an illusion. This is how politics is, this is how it's done. It's a puppet show. What I want people to realize here is, one, that they are deceiving you. And whether it's because you think it's for your best interest and he just happened to not have it, and he usually does, it doesn't matter. They still chose to deceive you for your good. And that's how they perceive it in some cases. Most of them, I think, don't care one way or the other, just about deceiving you. But the other point is to realize that if 2 million people are watching this, 6,000 retweets, 11,000 likes, people are eager for the truth. And they are tired of getting fed whatever, I'm trying to think of a good term for what you would call the BS that comes from the mainstream media that's just barely covered with some veneer to make it look shiny while it's just a shiny covered piece of crap. That's what the mainstream media is constantly giving you. So 2 million people, we need to realize, guys, that you are the majority. Stop listening to the mainstream media. They are desperate for you to believe that you're crazy and that you're the fringe, when in reality, arguably, in my opinion, the vast majority of Americans are on your side when it comes to understanding that this is not what they're telling us it is. Time to stand up. Time to do something about it. Now, here's a great video from Valuetainment. It's not necessarily new. This is from July. But I wanted to play this clip again. I think I might have played a clip of this in the past. This is a debate between RFK Jr., which, by the way, he absolutely, completely, in my opinion, just demolished Dershowitz in this, but with Alan Dershowitz. This is stemming from the discussion that Dershowitz had where he stated that vaccines and mandatory vaccines are constitutional as a lawyer, which is just absurd. But here, this is the claim, and that's what led to this debate. Now, I'm going to play a clip of this debate. I think it's about 5 minutes, and I'll stop and make comments here and there. But I want you to hear some of the things that are being stated. Now, understand, I would not play a clip if I had not checked the things that were said and confirmed them myself. Now, all the source material, as always, will be included. But understand that what he's saying in these things are correct. And even more example of why they're correct is the fact that Alan Dershowitz does not balk at them, does not reject, does not say that's not true. Just argues that he disagrees from a stance of what they think they should be doing. But RFK Jr. lays down some facts here about not just the coronavirus concept, but just vaccines in general. And these are things that we've been saying for a very long time. I want people to understand that this is where we really are. And all of these things, as always, can be researched and verified for yourself, which is exactly what RFK Jr. is telling people to do. Think for yourself.
What if it was one in a thousand, not one in a million? That's more
one in a thousand. No, of course not. I'm not going to tell one in a thousand people to die so that 999 people can avoid COVID.
Now, I'll give you a little quick background with this because it kind of just starts where they're talking about this. But what he's arguing is Alan's asking, what if it was one in a thousand people that would possibly die? Would that be okay? I can't even believe that's something you would pose as a logical question, because he was saying if it was one in a million, let's say, one in a million people could possibly die. Well, RFK Jr. says that he would argue that that's something we should do. And which is, by the way, to make the point, the absurd allegation that he is anti-vaxxer, even if you agree with that term and think that's a positive thing, I don't think being anti necessarily anything is usually a good thing. It's about being open to new information and facts. He's anti-bad vaccines, anti-dangerous vaccines, which, by the way, in my opinion, is pretty much everything we're dealing with today. So you could call that anti-vaccine, but I call it anti-dangerous things. I've always argued from the beginning of all evidence of this topic that I believe, and maybe I'm incorrect in this, but I believe there's science behind the concept of why vaccines are supposed to work. And the idea is that if there was good intentions behind these things with people who have, you know, morals and integrity and actually care about your safety, then maybe we would have some that could potentially have a positive outcome. And even he argues in this video that there are some cases where that could be useful. But what he's saying is that he would argue that, yes, we should do it if it was that extreme. And Alan comes in and says, what if it was 1 in 1,000? And that's where he picks up going, no, I'm not going to tell that many people to die. So 999 of them could end up living past this or arguably. But that's the mentality we are. Now, to just take a listen. There's a lot of good information here.
1 in 1,000, not 1 in 1,000,000. That's more. 1 in 1,000?
No, of course not. I'm not going to tell 1 in 1,000 people to die so that 999 people can avoid COVID, particularly since the case fatality rate for COVID. I mean, a healthy person has basically zero chance of dying from COVID. So they, you know, you need.
Notice that nobody balks at that. Quickly notice that nobody goes, wow, that's an outrageous claim. That's crazy. That's not backed up by the facts. Ask yourself why no one is saying that. Because it's true. So if that's true, and it is, as I've proven repeatedly on this show, how in the world can you argue that we need to, one, be restricted in any way, or two, be forced a medicine I don't even know why I just said that, because I've argued 1,000, it's not medicine. I argue vaccines in themselves are arguably not medicine, but to be given an experimental injection under the guise that this is so dangerous that we need to rush this thing out for your safety. It's absurd. You're not in danger unless you have extremely high comorbidities and you're over 60. And even within that argument, yes, I'm of the mind that I'm not even sure this is actually here. We know this hasn't been isolated. The CDC and the FDA have both stated that. People argue that it has because of reports that point back to isolation, but not actually citing the isolation and the reality that they have never effectively met Koch's postulates, which is the gold standard for isolating. I mean, this is a fact. So we have to realize that within all of this, that we're in a very deceptive situation, that at the end of the day, nothing I can see is actually factual, and nothing that we're staring at is actually giving you the full picture.
Give it to a tremendous number of people to save one life. And the probability rate for COVID, I mean, a healthy person has basically zero chance of dying from COVID. So they, you know, you need to give it to a tremendous number of people to save one life. And the problem is with this vaccine is, we don't know if the vaccine is going to kill more people when you start giving it to those people with the comorbidities. 54% of Americans now has diabetes, overweight, rheumatoid arthritis, they're smokers. They have 54% of us. I'm not even talking about smokers and vapors.
And you know why that's the case, guys? I mean, my opinion, and this is a correlation, not causation. You can never prove, you know, in this case, a correlation is not causation, but it can be, that you see an obvious correlation with the increase in vaccines, with the increase in what's been mandated. The same way that you see an obvious increase in all these things, just like I showed you, ADHD, autism, Alzheimer's, all of them seem to correlate perfectly right after the Act of 1986. With a dramatic increase right around there with no real explanation for why it suddenly started increasing other than the obvious, very clear reason that we can see that nobody wants to point to.
54% of us has chronic disease. They're testing it on one group and they're going to give it to another.
Sorry, I stopped again. That's a great point, though. Is what he's saying is they're testing it on people that do not have these things, as we already pointed out. Why? Because they wanted to make sure they passed the, quote, safety trial. They gamed it. They made sure they would get what they wanted. They didn't test it on the people with the highest issue. Looks like we're having a little struggle with the stream, of course. Nothing new there. But they didn't test it on the people who tend to have the highest incidence of you know, minorities. Based on the statistics anyway, or elderly and, you know, the people that have their historically the most at risk. So what he's saying is when they roll this thing out and then immediately give it to all those people, even though they tested it on people that weren't in that category, we're probably going to see a dramatic spike in people who are affected by it because they didn't test it properly. Oh, and by the way, that not testing it properly, that was done for your safety.
We need to know what the risk factor is in the people that they give it to. And
I agree with that. Let me put you in.
Let me just say the complete thought I was going to be made before. You know, I've sued the EPA for many years, and it's a captive agency. What would happen if EPA made half of its annual budget selling coal?
Think about that. This is such a fantastic point. Because the idea is that the CDC and these groups involved with this, the CDC makes money from the sale of vaccines. The idea, and then what he said is it's called a captive agency. This is regulatory capture. These are entities that are supposed to be enforcing accountability on these vaccine companies, but instead is controlled by them. Whether through finances, whether through politics, doesn't matter. We can see these things. And at the EPA said if they made half their money from coal, why would anybody pretend like they're a legitimate organization? That's what we're dealing with, and that's the point he makes. Nobody wants to acknowledge these things, and they act like you're crazy. The same way they try to paint him as some kind of wild anti-science conspiracy theorist, despite everything he's saying being rooted in the science. Oops, sorry, I lost my point there for a minute. Hold on, let me get the right spot.
Half of its annual budget selling coal. Mm-hmm. That's what you got with these regulatory agencies.
Well, you're
completely corrupt.
An important function doing this. Let me ask you another question. What if we had a system which said this? You have two choices. One, you can have the vaccine, or two, you can refuse to take the vaccine. But if you refuse to take the vaccine, you have to remain in quarantine until such time as the pandemic is basically passed. So it's your option.
Yeah, it's your option. So be a prisoner until we tell you otherwise, or take this experimental vaccine. Yeah, totally your choice.
One option you don't have, you don't have the third option. That is not taking the vaccine and mingling with the public and risking other people getting COVID. Not only young people, although young people do die, the Broadway actor who had his leg amputated and recently died tragically without any pre-existing conditions. What if we gave people that option?
I find that story so his leg was amputated, but we'll just pretend like, was there something else involved with that process? Did he get an infection? Anybody dies even remotely in the ballpark of COVID discussion today, it's COVID-19. We already see that happening.
Quarantine is the option for refusing to accept the vaccine, but you don't have the third option of refusing to accept the vaccine and walking around the public without masks.
The problem is, you know, that sounds like a reasonable position. The problem is, it's not the world the way the world works. And let me explain why. Here's how the world works. And the best analogy is the flu vaccine.
Man. I'm just pausing it for a moment because this is clearly being affected right now from some kind of just trying to make sure that we're not losing our stream here altogether. Quite frustrating. Just give it 1 second. Okay. Let's begin again. I just find it so interesting that we see this kind of weird as I'm staring at my connectivity that is through the roof, but you know, we'll continue.
So the flu way the world works, and let me explain why. Here's how the world.
Just a comment on it real quick. I should have said this in the beginning, just for people that don't know or aren't familiar with RFK Jr. He has I forget what's the term for it, but he has an issue, an illness that causes your vocal cords to. I don't speak intelligently on it, but it's an issue, like an illness he has that causes that. And so it's a struggle for him to talk. And yet, even though that's the case, he does all of the things he does. He puts himself on a stage full of people, like the kind of people that exist on Twitter today. You know, those really scum of the earth, vitriolic people that will make fun of somebody just because they don't like how they sound. Horrible people in the world today that do things like that. And he still puts himself out there because he cares about you. Because he cares about the truth and he cares about informing you about that reality. And I just want people to know in the chat, though, somebody might have said it in the chat. I'm just trying to take a peek. Nope, no one said the term. I forget what it was called. But the point is that's why he speaks like this. And I find that so wildly commendable that he puts himself out there to do this in spite of that. Just incredible to me.
world works. And the best analogy is the flu vaccine. So the flu vaccine is very much like the coronavirus vaccine, but we've had the flu vaccine for 90 years. So every year it's fine-tuned and we perfected. And originally they told us the flu vaccine, you'll give one shot and you'll have immunity for life. And then it turned out, no, we need to get it every year.
Because there are variations of the flu.
And the same thing is highly likely to happen with coronavirus.
That is such an important point. My opinion, that's not an if. That's absolutely where this is going. That's because that is a guarantee for return business. We're talking about something that they're claiming we have not stopped hearing about discussions about how this thing mutates. Even though I argue that's not something we've actually proven, but that's probably because it mutates. Every time the media can't stop and theorize about anything, it's probably a mutation. But here we are pretending like, no, we'll get a vaccine, it'll be good, then we go back to normal. But they know the argument or the goal, I would argue, is to make sure that this is an every year thing. Every year, come get your vaccine for flu, come get your vaccine for COVID-19, and it's going to be a repeat concept. They've already even told you this, by the way, because if it doesn't cause the right kind of response, you'll just have to get it again in 6 months. But if that's even possible, why is that not a discussion being had? Well, because they don't want you thinking, well, if it may not go away and we have to take this forever, well, I'm not going to go along with it to begin with. So they trick you. They lie to you. They lie for their truth in order to get you to believe that you can take it now and it'll be over tomorrow. And they'll pat themselves on the back thinking, well, we deceived him, but it was for the greater good. That's where we are. And we're back. God darn it. I love the gremlins in the machine, but let's keep going.
Now, the Cochrane Collaboration, which is the ultimate arbiter for vaccine safety, it is, it is the highest authority, and the British Medical Journal have done three giant meta-reviews on the flu vaccine literature. So they look at all the literature that exists, the peer-reviewed literature that is on PubMed, I think 127 studies.
So they look at all of it. I mean, think about that. It's incredible. All peer-reviewed, all random controlled. That's what he's talking about. All these things on the flu. And yet we act like, well, we're not sure about the things that he's about to say.
They did it in 2010, 2014, and 2017. Here's what they find. CDC said the flu vaccine is 35% effective. That's what they claim. Cochrane Collaboration said no. You have to give 100 flu shots to prevent one case of flu, number one. Number two, there is zero evidence that the flu shot prevents any hospitalizations or any deaths. Number three, the flu shot transmits the flu. In fact, if you get a flu shot, you're six times more likely to give somebody else the flu than if you didn't get the flu shot. And this is true, Alan, for many, many other shots. For example, the polio vaccine, which you know about, is so good at transmitting, giving polio to other people that 70% of the polio cases in the world today come from the vaccine.
What? Right? Stuff that I've said before. But yeah, just ignore the Associated Press and ignore the fact that these are facts, guys. And the whole thing that they keep doing is pretending like they equivocate. It's like saying that the study in which he mentions in a moment about from the Pentagon in regard to COVID-19, they say, well, it doesn't say anything about COVID-19. No, but the study very clearly says that the flu vaccine increases your risk of other infections, including coronaviruses. But because COVID-19, when that study was made, hadn't been officially stated yet, that just is completely conspiracy theory. That is scientifically ignorant. That is an obvious fallacy, and they know that. But the point is that he says right there, 70% of polio vaccines come from the vaccine. The fact that these vaccines increase in other cases risk of other illness. This has been common knowledge. But yet because we're at a point now where they don't want you questioning this stuff, the idea that the other vaccine that you're going to be forced or told to take alongside with this one would actually increase your risk of more problems. But that's fake news because they just don't want you thinking about it.
So let me ask you a specific question.
And the chickenpox, if you go to the chickenpox manufacturer's insert, it says if you get this chickenpox vaccine, you should not go near a pregnant woman for 6 weeks or anybody with who's immunocompromised. Yeah. Same with pertussis. You become an asymptomatic carrier. So it's a you're not guaranteeing. And in fact, the AstraZeneca vaccine, the Oxford vaccine, which is the other leader, when they gave it to monkeys, the monkeys continued to transmit the disease.
Right. So we're talking exactly about the point that we've been making for a long time. So what do you think the likelihood is that they're either tailoring them this way so that then people that don't take it because we're anti-vax or anti-science end up having a higher likelihood of it getting sent out to them because the people who do take it spread it even more virulently? Or is that just a simple byproduct of bad science? Or is that a way to make sure that it continues to spread despite the fact that people buy the vaccines? Or is it something completely different and it's just incompetence? It doesn't, ultimately, it doesn't really matter, does it? The point is that these are facts that are being held from your view and in fact attacked as fake news because they're concerned it'll make you question the current vaccine that you have every right to question. That's not how honest anything. That's not how honest people operate. That's not how honest governments, if there is such a thing, operate. That's not how honesty is. This is not honest, guys. This is deceptive. They're lying to you. This is from July. This is all absolutely true, and I challenge anybody to try to show otherwise, and I challenge every one of you to go out and think and research for these things on these things for yourself.
You go to the chickenpox manufacturer's insert. It says if you get this chickenpox vaccine, you should not go near a pregnant woman for 6 weeks or anybody with who's immunocompromised. Same with pertussis. You become an asymptomatic carrier. So it's a you're not guaranteeing. And in fact, the AstraZeneca vaccine, the Oxford vaccine, which is the other leader, when they gave it to monkeys, the monkeys continued to transmit the disease. And Bill Gates and Fauci have been going on TV saying, you know, we may get a vaccine that protects you, but you may still be transmitting it.
Again, they said that themselves. Right? So think about how dumb it is that there's people watching this right now who are saying fake news, oh, what a conspiracy theorist. And they don't care about the fact that Fauci and Gates both stated that as a fact previously, or that it could be the case, meaning that it's not that quite as crazy to think that it ended up being the case, because it is the case. Right? Just realize how crazy that is. Where's the guy in the chat right now? You guys all probably know who he is, who is sitting there screaming about how this is all fake news. But that's literally what Fauci and Gates they've said in the past. The idea is that people are trained to reject information that they sense counters what they've been told is the reality for political reasons. Even though you can show them facts that come right from the mouth of the people they're supposed to trust, and then they'll go, oh, okay, well, then it must be real. But before that, they were convinced it's fake news. The only thing that changed was the fact that they heard it from a person that they have already decided to trust. That's not critical thinking. You all know that.
So why are you going to lock that guy up in a house?
And make sure you hear this next point, because this is the concept that I continue to point out, that their actions have in fact actively, directly led to an increase in other general illness or whatever it is we're dealing with. Any number of the things, including pushing the flu vaccine. And in this case, listen to what he says in regard to how this thing increases the spread, and yet, you know, they force people to stay with each other in their homes.
The AstraZeneca vaccine, the Oxford vaccine, which is the other leader, when they gave it to monkeys, the monkeys continued to transmit the disease. And Bill Gates and Fauci have been going on TV saying, you know, we may get a vaccine that protects you, but you may still be transmitting it. So why are you going to lock that guy up in a house Look, and all people out who are now asymptomatic carriers because they got Gates' vaccine.
Okay, quickly, just so we're aware, caca carrot cake. I'm stopping it periodically because it's not my content. This is Valuetainment. And if I were to just play 5 minutes of his video, it would get deleted and he would hit it with a copyright strike. So just understand that there's a reason for it. And by the way, this is my show, so people come here to hear my comments on the things we're talking about. So when you say, Jesus, just play the video, you can look it up on YouTube and watch it right now for yourself if you choose. The link's in the show notes. Let's continue.
Let me agree with you, first of all. If they develop a vaccine that only prevents you from getting it, but doesn't prevent you from transmitting it, I would not be in favor of compelling that vaccine. And I think the Supreme Court would not accept that as a rationale. But I want to ask you a direct question. I'm 81, I'm almost 82 years old. My doctor, who I love and admire, says to me every year, come October, you must get the flu vaccine. You must get the vaccine against pneumonia. You must get the vaccine, whatever it is, against shingles. I listen to my doctor, who I love and admire, and has been taking care of me for years. Should I instead listen to you and not take the flu vaccine?
Nobody should listen to me. People need to do the science themselves. And I would say to you, no, only listen to your doctor. What Reagan said about Gorbachev, trust but verify. Do look at the vaccine inserts, Alan.
Yeah.
Look at some of the science. And I would say, you know, in a million years, I would not take the flu shot. And I'll tell you why, because this is what Cochrane and BMJ have found. People who take the flu shot are protected against that strain of flu. They're 4.4 times more likely to get a non-flu infection. And you might find, and a lot of people do, that they get the flu shot and then they get sick.
Now, this is the point we keep making about the flu vaccine and the study that the Pentagon did, I believe, in January of this year, saying that, or technically it was done before that, but it was released in January of this year. And it clearly stated that flu shots, 36% chance to increase the risk of other infections, including other coronaviruses. Now, remember that we're talking about in conjunction with that vaccine, which increases just general. Corbett did a great video on this showing that it wasn't just the idea of coronaviruses. It clearly states the increase of other infections while you're wearing a cloth mask that increases other infections, while you're doing a lot of things that increase other infections. And then you have to realize that the vaccine that they're pushing on you now has already been stated to have not actually stopped transmission. So if all you're doing is, and by the way, as I stated from that Forbes article, from right when they started these trials, they never even intended to try to stop transmission. It was only about lessening symptoms. You know why? Because that's a guarantee to pass the so-called safety trial. And then they're rushing it out because you're in danger, even though the numbers show you that you're really not. And it all continues to spin down, you know, spiral downward. If it doesn't stop transmission, what you're going to see is an increase in spread of whatever it is that we're increasing with the risk of everything else. Right, this is just a muddling. But we already told you they combine pneumonia and influenza with COVID numbers. It's right on the CDC website. It's called PIC, pneumonia, influenza, COVID. They report that as the COVID deaths, just like they went during flu before COVID ever existed. They reported it as flu and pneumonia, which doesn't make sense because there are incidences of pneumonia that don't count as flu, and vice versa, and in regard to COVID, in the same way. What we need to realize is these things are increasing your risk. Now, look, if you believe that this is something that you should take because it makes you safe or because you want to, that's fine. It's your choice. You should be the person that makes that decision for you and your family, because it's called informed consent. That, you know, the thing that literally doesn't exist right now because you're in danger, even though the numbers say you're not.
They're usually not getting the flu. They're getting something that is indistinguishable from the flu, because the flu shot gives you something called pathogenic priming.
And the one in the Pentagon study, it's called virus interference. Now, I believe these are two separate things. Either way, the concept is that it's increasing your risk of other things because of the way it interacts with your body specifically. So it's interesting. Remember both of those terms. Very important.
It injures your immune system so that you're more likely to get a non-flu viral upper respiratory infection. In fact, the Pentagon published a story, and you can cite this, it's by Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, in January of this year, in which they said that the flu shot not only primes you for flu, but it primes you for coronavirus. If you get, they gave flu, they had a
Just pausing it while it looks like the connection struggles for a minute. Those, these pauses I apologize for because I'm just letting the connection reestablish. For some of you, it may seem like there's no drop at all, but when I see it go down to red, I know that there are some people losing audio and so on, so I'm just making sure it comes back. Here we go.
Placebo group, and they had a vaccine group because they wanted for military readiness to see if the flu shot was prophylactic against coronavirus. What they found is actually the people who got the flu shot were 36% more likely to get coronavirus.
Exactly.
And that's not a lone study. We found six other major studies that say the same thing. If you get the flu shot, you're more likely to get coronavirus.
Six other studies? Like, you realize how incredible that is, that we can have seven major studies that all find the same thing, and yet the entirety of mainstream media tell you that that's a fake news story. Facts are fake news. We're literally in this post-truth world that they said that we were building, and that's what they were building behind the scenes the whole time. Or right on top of us the whole time. It's incredible. That's why the hashtag facts are fake news on YouTube, absolutely we got to get that going. Because YouTube is definitely falling off right now. But we need to realize that facts are fake news for the mainstream media today.
And this is what the science says, and you should not listen to me. Nobody should.
Yeah, I understand.
You should read the science.
So let me understand the implications.
By the way, there was a weird cut right there. It could just be a glitch in their video or something, but a dramatic cut and it continued the conversation. I'm wondering if there was a little bit of they both yelled or something happened right there because it was, I don't know. I found that interesting. I just want to watch for yourself.
You're more likely to get coronavirus. And this is what the science says, and you should not listen to me. Nobody should.
Yeah, I understand.
You should read the science.
So let me understand the implications of your position on the flu shot. Not only would you not take the flu shot and urge me to look at the science and in the end decide not to take the flu shot because it's too dangerous, but you would also, if I take the implications of your position accurately, outlaw the flu shot, make it illegal because in your view and in the view of the scientists, you quote, the flu shot causes more harm than good and increases the chances of us all getting the coronavirus. Do I understand the implications of your view correctly?
I love his response.
I wouldn't take that sort of extreme position. What I would say is we should have vaccines, but we shouldn't have a one-size-fits-all mandate. There may be some situations where even a flu shot would be beneficial to somebody because a flu shot is not completely ineffective. It does probably give you protection.
Wait a minute. So you mean this guy who they're screaming is anti-vax is actually telling us that there's some use for these vaccines? Wait a minute. How does that make sense? Oh, you mean they're missing in nuance? Who would possibly imagine the media would do something like that? Do you realize how dumb, how just outstandingly ridiculous that is, that this guy is openly talking about where his stance is, and all they can do is parrot and repeat that he's an anti-vax scientist because they know that that's what they're supposed to do. I've told you this from the very beginning. In fact, what's funny, there are entire factions in what they would call themselves the anti-vax movement, people that argue that there's no use for any of these things, you know, whatever, that there's movements that call themselves anti-vax. They don't like RFK because he says things like this. So it's just funny that you find these people actually in the middle that are actually talking about science and just saying, look, like I love Dershowitz tried to set him up right there. He tried to get him to say that he would say no. And I love that he responded the way he did because he's saying, look, it's not even up to me. Like there are uses for everything. The point is that it's not one size fits all. We know that. The science knows that. And yet they push it anyway. And they argue it's for the greater good, even though international law makes it clear that that's not even the case. That it states that your individual rights and your direction and self-determination are more important than science and society as a whole. That's in the UNESCO document I keep showing you. That's international law.
And that year's flu strain, if they get it right. We shouldn't have a one-size-fits-all mandate. There may be some situations where even a flu shot would be beneficial to somebody because a flu shot is not completely ineffective. It does probably give you protection against that year's flu strain if they get it right. And there could be a situation where somebody's life depended on getting that flu shot, but to mandate the flu shot population wide, I think is criminal. And I think it's, you know, where the look, all you have to do, Alan, and this is what Cochrane said, is look what's happened to longevity in the elderly since we started mandating the flu shot to elderly people. Those are the people, who, their life expectancy has dramatically gone down as the flu shot proliferated. And if you see, you know, the people who died during the COVID vaccinate, during the COVID crisis, many, and there's no science on this, but it's observational. It tended to be people who got their flu shots, people who were in nursing home who all get flu shots, people who are first responders.
Well, that's interesting, right? The comments and all the things he's saying are supposed to be, I mean, everything he listed off in this discussion is all just fake news conspiracy theory, except all of it's backed up by facts and science and documentation. It's just incredible that we can even be in this position. But listen to what he said right there at the end, they're talking about the idea that the correlation is there. And he's smart. He didn't say that we can prove that, but the correlation is there. That the nursing homes, the elderly, the people, I mean, even the countries like Italy that aggressively push the flu seem to be the worst affected. There's something to this discussion. Now, you know my opinion, hopefully, for those that are new. I mean, look, the concept where we are right now is just wildly deceitful. The fact that there's indemnity for these companies, that they just remove, they have immunity to liability for any of the things that they're potentially doing because your safety, which doesn't make sense. I don't trust any of this stuff. I think the same reason that the entities, the regulatory capture aspect, the entities that are supposed to keep these people accountable are controlled by the same people that are profiting from the sale of the vaccines. The idea is that we have every reason to question the decisions that are being made. I mean, every possible reason. So like I said, I think it comes down to the intent. And at this point, I don't trust anybody involved with what's actually happening. And the clear point is that they're not even incentivized to make sure that they're safe. And the history shows you that they never really do. That's the history speaking. Look at Emergent BioSolutions. Look at Robert Kadlec. Look at 1976. Look at 2009. Over and over and over, they continue to prove to you that they care more about profit, more about what their agenda is than actually keeping you safe. And yet we're supposed to act like that's crazy town. We can't even talk about it. And after we lay out all those facts. The point is, though, I know that some people would say that because he even remotely argues that maybe there's a use to those, that he's secretly not on your side. It's sure, anything's possible, but that's an illogical argument, because the point is that he has an opinion based on what he believes to be right. And just, I mean, look, just in my same mindset, that I believe that there could potentially be uses for the science behind this. But you know what? Somebody wants to show me that I'm wrong. I'm not a scientist. I'll happily report it and happily talk about it. But I believe it comes down to the people behind all of this showing us that they don't really care about you. Now, despite all of this, it's rolling out anyway. The U.S. begins distribution of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine. Right? And as Business Insider puts it, FDA commissioner says he hopes the first coronavirus vaccine in the U.S. could be administered on Monday. On Monday, so tomorrow, right? Where are all these Trump supporters that said this was all a big 4D chess move and this was all an illusion, that Trump would never let this come out and it will never happen, right? And even for those that say, well, we'll never take it, it doesn't matter, because the world is being created in a way that won't allow you to not take it. You're going to be pushed out of society unless you go along with what they want you to do. And there are 15 different companies now that I've seen that said this, in massive airline industries, massive ticket sellers. I mean, this is a big deal. And that's assuming that they don't actually just mandate it because we don't reach herd immunity, or because they say that there's more of another spike or another danger, blah, blah, blah. Well, we're here, guys. And just like I said, I would say when it happened, what's the argument now? Were we wrong up until now? Or is there some new move that I'm not seeing? Because this is clearly happening, and Donald Trump is clearly arguing that this is something we should all go along with. That seems to counter what we're being told. But as they're pushing this and as they're telling you, it's going to be out tomorrow. We skip so many different parts of what should be happening. Like, remember how much has been skipped in this process, right? I mean, people mostly talk about the animal trials, which is a huge part. And as Dr. Lyons Wheeler pointed out himself, there's a hugely important part of the animal trials, which decides what they'll do in regard to human trials, which then decide what they're going to do in regard to how they actually make this thing safe. But we just skipped that. Why? For your safety. And that's actually the argument. Well, here we are. It's coming out tomorrow. here is a participant, and yes, this is a different vaccine, but understand that there's the same direction, the same science, arguably, participant. And the reason I actually bring this up is, one, to show you that there's other incidences of side effects, but also to call back to what we were just reporting on. Remember the mysterious Indian illness that just happened that people just kind of dismissed and what, you know, nobody was really pointing to it other than to reference that, oh, here's another outbreak of something. Well, I also pointed out that's pretty much exactly where a COVID-19 trial took place. And nobody wants to make the connection between whether or not what we saw with the exact same side effects was not a mysterious illness, but in fact, a response to a vaccine trial that people just don't want us talking about. This is another discussion in that point. I want you guys to think for yourself on whether that's what actually happened. And I find it really revealing that so few are actually even talking about something that should be a very interesting point. Participant in India's AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine trial sues after experiencing severe adverse effects. Now, this is from the beginning of December, end of November, technically. Now, this is what's interesting, because remember the timing of all of this. And this being the exact same vaccine, and in fact, in the same location. So continue to think about that and what we talked about in regard to the mysterious illness, which, by the way, is the discussion, the article right here. India's mysterious illness was in the same location as COVID vaccine trial. Consider the symptoms, consider the location, and now consider the fact that there's another person in India in the same location who took the same vaccine, who claims he had the same problems that we saw with the mysterious illness. An Indian man who helped test a coronavirus jab based on the AstraZeneca candidate vaccine has filed suit, claiming that he suffered extreme side effects during his participation in the trial. Now, the man from Chennai and is suing the Pune-based Serum Institute of India, the SSI, which, by the way, remember, was exactly the place we were talking about in regard to the vaccine trial and as well as the location of the mysterious illness. Now, here is, again, this location is where we're talking about in regard to, here we go, hold on. There it is, I'm gonna get the red dot on there. Okay, here is the area that this person was from. Now remember that the area of where all this was taking place, Andhra, the province, I'm trying to get you so you can pop it up so you can see it, right there, Andhra Pradesh, if I'm probably mispronouncing it, this is the province where that all mysterious illness all took place, as well as where the vaccine trial took place, which was actually like right up here somewhere without actually searching for it again. In the same province. Okay, so that being said, the individual alleges that he suffered serious neurological damage. Now, again, that was the interesting thing about all of this, the neurological aspect. After taking part in the phase 3 trial of Covishield, the SSI's version of the COVID-19 jab being developed in AstraZeneca and the University of Oxford. The man was purportedly told that the vaccine was safe and chose to participate in the program in the spirit of public service. Doesn't that sound familiar? The lawsuit also demands that SSI, AstraZeneca, and the Oxford group immediately halt vaccine trials, in which some 1,600 volunteers are currently enrolled. Right, so this is the trial that we just talked about, which was stopped because they got a horribly low, I think it was like 63% effective efficacy. I mean, there's a lot of negative things happening here in regard to the AstraZeneca concept. And then we have a mysterious illness that nobody wants to connect with this seemingly troubled trial. 10 days after receiving the shot, the man complained of a pounding headache and experienced vomiting, his wife told local media. A review by the hospital concluded that the medical problems were not linked to the vaccine. And a medical official cited by Indian media claimed that the patient was now all right and had not incurred any expenses stemming from the health episode. But that's not what he says. That's not what his family says. In September, the SSI briefly paused his clinical trials of COVID Shield after a recipient of the AstraZeneca jab showed adverse symptoms. India has faced criticism for not being more transparent about its COVID-19 vaccine trials, and I find this especially relevant. According to Science Magazine, SSI is not using the same phase 3 testing protocol implemented by AstraZeneca. So they're doing something especially unique and different outside the protocol in this certain location where they had a mysterious illness? That seems interesting. And has also declined to make its guidelines public. That seems relevant, doesn't it? In any case, we're talking about somebody who had neurological issues from this vaccine. I really think we need to continue. I have myself and others interested in diving into this story and trying to find out. I've tried to contact anybody involved with the vaccine trial. I've tried to contact anybody involved with the mysterious illness to give me any kind of comment on what they saw and what was happening, and I can't get anything. I can't even get a response from the hospital. Just seems odd. Doesn't mean maybe it's just because I haven't, you know, any number of reasons. But the point is, I'm going to continue to look into this, and I do not understand why more people are not. Now, here is an interesting discussion, and this is the sidestep we were talking about. Science, translation, medicine in the pipeline. Get ready for false side effects. I just love the matter-of-fact statement. And it's probably an easy side to err on, because you probably will, you almost always have natural occurrences. But this is setting us up to be able to question anything that happens. Any side effect, no matter how clear, you will see this be questioned as a natural. By the way, we'll get to next, exactly like the Bell's palsy scenario. Even though it's four people in a small grouping of trials where they none of the placebo side, and we'll get to it in a minute, but they claim it's just a natural occurrence. It just so happens that all four of them developed Hell's palsy at the same, seemingly same time frame in their lives and seemingly perfectly coordinated after they got the vaccine. But it was just because they were all naturally going to get it anyway. That's actually what they're trying to argue. He's saying here on this other article in regard to basically the argument of why side effects we're going to see will be incorrectly attributed to vaccines. He says, now we have to get people to take them in regard to the vaccine. So just be clear right before we get into his argument for about why these side effects will not be actually because of the vaccine. Realize that he very clearly has an agenda to make sure people get them. That should be relevant in regard to his logic about why these dangerous things won't be associated with the thing that he clearly or aggressively thinks we should all do because we're all going to die and this is the most important thing we should. I mean, this is the logic behind this. And you read the article and the sentiment is clear that we're in danger and we have to get people to take this because that's what's going to save us. The end of the article makes the same point, but this is the point. That should flavor how you perceive what he's arguing. But it says, we're talking about treating very, very large populations, which means that you're going to see the usual run of mortality and morbidity that you see across large samples. True statement. Specifically, you take 10 million people and just wave your hand back and forth over their upper arms. In the next 2 months, you would expect to see about 4,000 heart attacks, about 4,000 strokes, over 9,000 new diagnoses of cancer. Now, understand, he's talking about a general sense, and this is a true statement, that you're just in any grouping of people, I'm assuming, the point is that the normal, like however many people normally die, let's say, from heart attacks in a given year. So if you give every single person in that category a vaccine, that same number of people will most likely end up dying from what they were already essentially going to die from. That's the argument here. Now, yes, there's logic to that, and yes, that will happen. But it does not mean that we should dismiss things like heart attacks, because, well, people have heart attacks because that's what's going to happen. Because if you're going to say that we will see some heart attacks because people just have heart attacks, that when you see some heart attack that happens after getting the vaccine 3 days, 4 days, a week later, they're going to say, well, there's heart attacks and that's way under the normal amount. But that's not a fair argument because we should actually find out whether or not that was the cause. That's what they're doing with Bell's palsy right now. They're just trying to dismiss it offhandedly because the company is saying, well, it's right in line with the normal amount. That's not a fair argument. It's a logical argument if you're going to continue to research and find out if that was the case. And sure, they'll say they'll do that, but you think a company who has their entire, their profit is invested in whether or not this succeeds? You think they're going to challenge themselves on these things? Now it says, and about 14,000 of that 10 million will die out of a usual all-cause mortality. Now that's if you're doing 10 million people, understand. He says no one would notice. That's how many people die and get sick anyway. I like that. Think about how funny it is that they're making the argument of why what they're doing in allusion in regard to COVID is the same thing. Like if we argued, well, don't people die anyway? Like when they say, oh, 200 people died from COVID today. Well, there's not the idea of the what's normal and what's not. It's funny how that logic is applied in regard to ways like this where they can argue, well, that's normal, those people are dying because of the during the vaccine trial. But when you try to argue that numbers in regard to COVID deaths might just be more casual than usual, well, that's fake news. And of course, there's nuance on both sides of that, but just realize how often they apply logic where they want to and omit it where they want to. Now it says, but if you took those 10 million people and gave them a new vaccine instead, there's a real danger that those heart attacks, cancer diagnoses, and deaths will be attributed to the vaccine. I mean, if you reach a large enough population, you're literally going to have cases where someone gets the vaccine and drops dead the next day. Now, here's the interesting part, guys. Remember that, you know, we might know these things and be able to show, look, see, they didn't have the heart attack correlation during this 40,000 strong test, but they did when they distributed it. That seems to make more sense. But no, they didn't do that because they did a very rushed test where they didn't do animal trials, where they only applied it to a very small portion of people that actually ended up. And this is the people are getting confused about this whole trial concept. They keep talking about 40,000 people. They brought in 40,000 people. Then they tested 40,000 people and they only got 164 that were actually sick. And then they applied the vaccine to those people. And then so many of them got sick or didn't. And that's how they applied the number. Yeah, sure, you can argue 40,000 people in the trial, but that doesn't mean you actually get the right percentage of 40,000 people. If only 7 of them got sick, you don't apply it to 40,000, you apply it to 164. That is not an extrapolate. You can't use that as a deciding factor in whether or not it's actually safe. And you can't argue our safety is why you don't do what's necessary for our safety. That's stupid. It says, if it could prove difficult to convince that person's friends and relatives of the lack of connection, though. Right, so explain for me why you would need to convince them anything. Wouldn't you need to convince them with, you know, the autopsy and the science? No, because what he's going to say is that this is going to be the point. The media is going to try to argue that, no, that was just a natural occurrence. So you're going to be arguing that of the family whose father, brother, sister, and uncle just died of a random, unexpected heart attack when he was perfectly okay. But because people in that age frame in this percentage generally have them, then we're going to pretend like it's associated with the vaccine. Now, I'm not arguing that I know for a fact that they won't research these things. But let me just ask you in the chat, do you think that they'll research these things? Does history show that they'll effectively research these things? Well, you can answer that for yourself. He says, the best we can do, I think, is to try and get the word out in advance. Oh, okay, so try to get the word out about how some of these things might not be what you think they are with no actual nothing to back it up other than just general statistics. You could say that about damn near anything, but of course the logic only applies where they want it to. He says, let people know that such things are going to happen. Because people, but that's not a certainty. Because people get sick and they die constantly in the world. The key will be whether they are getting sick or dying at a noticeably higher rate once they have been vaccinated. Yeah. But the question is whether that will be accurately reported or whether people like you in this position will try to bend it into being not associated with the vaccine. So if you're already making this argument, what you just said about whether the higher rate once they've been vaccinated won't actually apply because you're already undercutting the possibility that that's even happening. This is setting the table. That's what this is. Of course, he says mass vaccination is the most powerful thing we have, method we have. I think anybody could disagree with that. He said that's going to be harder to do, though, if we get screaming headlines about people falling over due to heart attacks after getting their vaccine shots. Oh, so that's his underhanded way of arguing that the media should simply not report on what's happening if it could make you doubt the vaccine, even though it's true. Right? So they're willing to send out screaming headlines about completely unverified things from Syria, or screaming headlines about completely unverified things in regard to anything which they agree with. But of course, when it's something like this, well, we have to be careful that we don't report the truth because it might be I don't know. They might come to their own opinions about it. Yeah, be braced indeed. The world we're in right now, guys, is quite terrifying, but I'm more hopeful than ever. Because I truly believe that people like you are out there questioning all of this. I truly, deeply believe that we are beginning to change, to turn the tide, guys. It's just a matter of whether we're willing to capitalize on the obvious reach of the information that we're getting. As always, it's up to you. Here's Spiro reporting on exactly what we were just talking about. 4 Pfizer vaccine volunteers developed Bell's palsy. Bell's palsy is a condition that causes a weakness or paralysis of the muscles in the face. The condition causes one side of your face to droop or become stiff. Well, I'll just jump to this really quickly so I can point out what Bell's palsy is. It's a form of facial paralysis that results from trauma or damaged facial nerves. But here's the important part. It says the most commonly affected muscles are closures of the eye, half the smile. Patient is unable to close their eye or smile or on half their face. But it says this is according to Dr. David Simpson. director of the neuromuscular division of the Department of Neurology. So we're talking about a neurological issue. Just found that to be relevant to the other discussion from India in regard to all the previous things that they're trying to kind of sidestep away from the vaccine. There's obviously a correlation here with neurological side effects from this disease, from this experimental injection. Why? Because we're talking about a genetically modifying vaccine. Oh, actually, I got pulled away from that argument. I think I lost my train of thought earlier. But the point in regard to this, there's a lot of confusion about this, right? There's a lot of manipulation about this topic, about whether or not this thing alters your DNA. This is obvious, guys. It's the idea is clear. As even the CDC says right here about this vaccine, it says it's a new type of vaccine to protect against infectious diseases. To trigger an immune response, many vaccines put a weakened or inactive germ. That's a normal vaccine, where they put something in your body that's arguably organic, you know, weakened or inactive germ. Your body then reacts to that germ and causes antibodies, which then later can be used to fight off whatever is coming, or if that's the correct terminology. But the point is, it's natural. Your body is responding to things based on organic material. Not mRNA vaccines, though. Instead, they teach our cells how to make a protein. Now, anybody out there want to pretend like that's not the absolute diametric opposite of medicine? That they're actually genetically teaching your body how to do something and then using that action, potentially, to fight off the virus in the future? So the argument here, what articles like this try to do, contrary to popular claim, RNA vaccines don't alter your DNA. Well, I didn't actually say they alter your DNA. I said that first of all, understand there's RNA, there's DNA. These are all genetic material. So what we're talking about is this is genetically altering. That's what this is. And even Bill Gates has talked about this. No, I didn't say he said alter your DNA. I said that he openly talked about how it's inserting code into your genetic material. That is not normal, right? That's why this is, by definition, experimental. It's never actually been successfully done before. So all these people out there that are trying to reel and looking up ridiculous fact checkers like this that point back to some Waking Times article about Bill, like that's your source? No, I'm talking, acting like that's where we all got it from. Like we all sourced it from some random, no, we looked it up on the scientific studies. I looked it up on Moderna's website. I mean, it's so funny how this is how they manipulate. And then people send you these things and go, oh, I think you're mistaken. Because you know why? Because they didn't read the actual science. They read what this thing said the science is. That is what's happening today. Put to bed this absurd notion that this thing is not, this thing does not manipulate your body on a genetic level. That's 100% what it does. You can read this for yourself. It's very clear. Of course, they're careful to avoid certain terminology, but it's walking you through how it is literally teaching your body how to do something different than it normally does. Just making sure that's abundantly clear before we move forward. And then you can ask yourself, gee, doesn't that seem an interesting tie-in to some neurological disorder? Yeah, that's a very clear indication. The idea that it could cause something like this makes perfect sense to me. Oh, and by the way, it's not just some picture, because we can show you directly from the FDA. Thank you, Spiro, for sharing this information. It's very important. Here's the actual document. And by the way, again, shout out to Spiro for being somebody with enough integrity to not just share you his statements and hope that you report based on what he said, but that you actually share the source material. Because it's not about me. It's not about Spiro. That's when we both agree on that. It's about the truth. That's why I appreciate Spiro's work. And people like Corbett and plenty of others who make sure that you have the material for yourself. And that's what scares the hell out of mainstream media, because they want you to rely on them. Now, just picture all the other independents out there that want to call themselves independent media that just want you, they make the claims and they talk about sources and they don't actually show you anything. They want you to go to them. They want you to be reliant on them. That's exactly how mainstream is. We here at The Last American Vagabond want you to think for yourself. Novel, isn't it? But here's the document. Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee meeting December 10th. Here's the point. There's actually a few different references in this document, but this is the one that Spiro pointed to and one that I do agree is probably the most relevant. As it says, Bell's palsy was reported by 4 vaccine participants and none in the placebo group. So look, in the argument that they're making, right? That they're just based on the amount of people, you're going to have a general prevalence of so many Bell's palsy, so many heart attacks, so many whatevers, right? But if that's the case, you would argue that it would be pretty even. There'd be some in placebo, there'd be some in the vaccines, and not all seemingly, well, as it says, Bell's palsy was reported by 4 vaccine participants, none in the placebo group. These cases occurred at 3, 9, 37, and 48 days after vaccination. One case, onset at 3 days post-vaccination, was reported as resolved with soliloquy within 3 days after onset, and the other 3 were reported as continuing or resolving as of November 14th. So how can they be resolving if this is something that, I mean, I don't want to, the point is, guys, the argument that this is some naturally occurring thing, sure, that's possible. But we have to see how dishonest that is to act like to just dismiss this and say, well, yeah, that correlates with natural occurrence. It should make you sick. Every single thing, especially when you're rushing this out, should be given its due attention. And of course, at any case, with all these things, you should have every right to say no. And you do, by the way. But it says, as resolving November 14th, data cut off with ongoing durations of 10, 15, 21 days, respectively. And then they make a point to say it, consistent with the expected background rate in the general population. That may be the case with how many they're talking about, but understand that we're talking about 4 people within, what, a 2-month time frame? Well, 2.5-month time frame? All of 4 of them getting it only in the vaccine side? It says, but FDA will recommend surveillance for cases of Bell's palsy with deployment of the vaccine to larger populations. Oh, good. So they're not going to stop it. They're just going to monitor everyone they give it to for possible Bell's palsy. Cool. Let's make sure we get that then. Do you understand what's happening here? They're going to make sure they're going to monitor for this and they're going to study it, but only once it goes into your body. Gosh, that's incredible. Here's the actual article that he shared as well. COVID-19, 4 Pfizer vaccine volunteers develop Bell's palsy. I want to read you one part from this where it says, meanwhile, Pfizer chief executive, remember Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, the groups that Donald Trump was saying that we should be listening to, which is just incredible. You know, a profit-centered company that's only concerned about actually making money based on this business. We should listen to them, though, because they're going to make sure we're safe, just like they have never in the past. I mean, I've shown you, I think, what, 14 to 15 different examples of Pfizer being accused and then found guilty of lying, deceiving, lack of safety, and then being fined hundreds of millions of dollars, $1 billion, I mean, all over the place, over the process of 20, however, as long as I can remember. But they're still there. What does that tell you? But it says he, on Wednesday, the chief executive noted that the pharma giant did not cut any corners. So he's literally trying to tell you that they did not cut any corners while rolling out the vaccines. He says, quote, the vaccine, quote, has been tested in the exact same way as we are testing any vaccine that is circulating out there. Adding, quote, this vaccine actually was tested because of the scrutiny with even higher standards in terms of how we do things. That's literally what he's trying to tell you. Despite the fact that we all know, as a matter of fact, that they didn't even test on animals. So that means he's lying to you right there. He's lying to people that know. I mean, even people that agree with the vaccine know that they didn't do animal trials, and yet he's just flat out lying to you. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I just can't get past how willing these people are to just bold-faced lie. And then people that know he's lying, who agree with the vaccine, will pretend like he's not because they secretly go, well, I know what he's doing, but he's lying for his truth. And we have to lie with him for lie because we think the vaccine's safe and we should fight. You know, you're trying to manipulate people into doing this because you've decided that it's for everyone's best interest. And then pretend that that's called freedom. Didn't cut any corners. I mean, they cut every corner. In regard to how fast it came out, in regard to who they tested on, in regard to the trial amount, they even said themselves, the actual guy in regard to Moderna, he said himself, it was Tall Zacks, he said clearly that we would have tested for more people, but we didn't get, if you wanted that, we need to talk to people who are paying this because we need more money. But yeah, we didn't cut corners though. And yes, we're talking about Pfizer here, but they all have the same circumstances. They're all rushing and they're all trying to be the first. And they cut every possible corner they were allowed to cut. This is probably some semantics here. They're probably claiming they didn't cut corners, quote, cut corners, because that was allowed by the government, which means they didn't cut corners. There's probably some way they're bending the reality here, because we all know that they cut corners. He says, quote, always there are people who are skeptical about vaccines, but I have to say they are wrong. Wrong about what? Being skeptical? I mean, what a dumb statement. So you're wrong? Like, if you doubt from even, and if you doubt vaccines in any way, even for a moment, you're just wrong. That's it. It's wrong for doubting it. I just can't believe how ignorant this argument is. Earlier, it says the medicine regulator in UK has advised that people with a history of significant allergic reactions should avoid getting the shot. Right? But you're wrong, though. You're wrong for any doubts whatsoever or skeptical. You're wrong. But if you have allergies, you shouldn't take it at all because you could spread. It's just, this is the very next paragraph. National Health Service Medical Director Stephen Prowse says that two NHS workers reported anaphylactoid reactions after getting the vaccine. But if you doubt it, you're completely wrong. Just in case you're unclear about what anaphylactoid looks like. Right, but you know, if you're skeptical, you're just wrong, though. Unbelievable. But you know, in general, though, they're making sure that you know that this is all going to bring you back to normal, though, right? Did you know that? It's all tomorrow. Once you get me the shot, going right back to normal. Right back to normal the next day. That's actually what Trump is telling you, despite the fact that we know, again, that it will not stop transmission. And even Fauci and everybody else, you know, the person that Trump put in this position, is continuing to tell you that you're going to have to wear a mask, you're going to have to do all these things, and it's not going to go back to normal. Well, maybe in the middle of 2020, maybe 2022, and just putting it off. Oh, yeah, the war on terror, that'll be over next month. Oh, just maybe until the next year. Oh, it's only temporary. Only we're going to restrict you for a moment. Yeah, 20 plus years later. We're 10 plus months into this. 15 days to flatten the curve. Which all began with Donald Trump's state of emergency. He says it will vanquish the virus and return life back to normal. When I said, how can this vaccine return life back to normal if it won't stop transmission? Even if you get this experimental injection, which is the only thing I'm going to call it now, you can still spread it. You can still catch it. That's a fact. And then understand, everybody who is a Trump supporter who listened to this video go, oh my God, he said FISA. He didn't say Pfizer. He said FISA. It's a secret. Wink, wink. It's FISA. He's going to go after somebody. Sure. Is it possible? Of course, anything's possible. The absurdity, though, that he's mispronouncing Pfizer, and that I just said mispronouncing Pfizer, is a cue distraction. So everybody who believes in Trump won't look at this and go, oh my God, he's telling us to take the vaccine. That's not what I thought would happen. Oh, but it's wink, wink, nod, nod. It's a 4D chess move. No, he's not telling you that. He said Pfizer, so it's all going to come down to military. I mean, for crying out loud, guys, it's sickening. Wake up. I want to work with people out there that believe in the Constitution, that believe that what we're fighting for is the true American values here. Not what the government tells us they are, not what our government's history has been, but what we as Americans believe. The reason that they pretend to do good is because we want good. So if you cannot realize that this is leading you down that negative path, well, I don't even know what to tell you anymore. I guess wait a few more months. The sad reality is I think the writing is on the wall, and that doesn't mean I'm supporting Biden. I think they're both a bunch of criminals. All of them are criminals. The thing is that they're working in the same direction, and it's time for everyone to see that. But here he is telling you a flat out lie that you will go back to normal. 8.8 million people are going, oh, good. So I'll get this then because Trump said it was safe and because we'll go back to normal. All the facts are in front of you if you just listen to anybody other than politicians. But again, remember that here's Klaus Schwab himself telling you that you will not go back to normal. Right? It is just time that we wake up to the reality of where we actually are, guys. It could not be more clear. They're telling you what I've been trying to say. And people are still acting like I'm crazy for not believing it'll all go away once we just acquiesce.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. Cut which we have now is much too strong in order not to leave traces.
That's just, I mean, this unelected non-scientist, non-doctor is telling you what your future is going to be. The world, apparently. That we won't go back to that normal. And look, this is the frustrating thing, is that where you get this, I've constantly said from the beginning, this normal that we want to go back to? I mean, I'm the one that's been railing against this normal since before we got here. So let's not pretend like I'm going, yay, let's go back to what we had before. That's obviously not the argument I'm making. The point is that they're telling us we'll go back to normal, and a lot of Americans want whatever that normal was before, and they're tricking them into thinking that we'll get that. Yes, we should want something different than either of these things, but we need to realize that we can't just follow along with where they lead us and try to dictate what we want within it. This is a technocracy. This is a dystopian technocratic future that they're building for you. And we don't just get to work within that and try to make it what we want. We need to work outside the box. We need a new paradigm. We need to stop listening to these sociopaths and choose our own direction. That's what we actually need, because he's telling you we won't go back to normal. That's not in the cards, guys. And again, to the question from the beginning, or as I say right here, but hurry up, take your experimental injections so we can not go back to normal. Remember what I said. If you knew that all these COVID restrictions would never go away, would you still be supporting them right now? Please reflect on that, especially if you do not agree with what we're saying today. Here we are, 10 months later. Now, on top of this, here's the World Economic Forum also telling you that we won't go back to normal. It says, the World Economic Forum says, home office, can our vacant workplaces, you know, that you'll get right back once you get the vaccine, be converted into houses? Oh, interesting. Maybe not. So now the World Economic Forum is trying to capitalize on all the empty businesses that only happened because the government shut down everything based on an illusion of what was really happening. Yeah, that wasn't intentional or anything. That wasn't intentional because the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset that's backed by all these powerful people wasn't an agenda they were trying to achieve and didn't know how. That's not what happened, of course, right? Because if they didn't know how to achieve it, it's not like they could just create some fake illusion and then blame the illusion for why you lost your house and then capitalize on it and then claim that's why we did it and it's all in your interest. It's not like they could do something like that. Oh my God, it's so ridiculous, guys. I mean, I can't even do anything but be facetious about this anymore. I just cannot understand why people cannot see this. As I said, now your empty businesses that were destroyed by your government will be repurposed for the greater good, but of course will magically come back when you take your vaccine, facepalm, or so Great Reset World Economic Forum is proposing. Still think all will go back to normal as they try to use your empty businesses that you should be able to still be profiting from and capitalizing on? And it's just sickening how obviously they're whether or not they did this intentionally or they meant to do it or none of it matters. They're doing it now. They're capitalizing on your destruction for the benefit of what they think is the greater good. That has nothing to do with democracy or whatever you want to call it, having any kind of influence over the direction. Nothing. Here's what a Canadian politician had to say about this Great Reset. I find it increasingly interesting how many politicians or anybody, how many, you know, they want to frame everybody who's saying these things as crazy fringe conspiracy theorists and anti-science and whatever the ridiculous, polarized, childish comments they're making. But it's increasingly interesting how many people are actually politicians, scientists, doctors, Nobel laureates, famous people, as if that should even matter. But the point is, people that are in sphere, that are actually telling you that they think we're in a very, very dangerous position, but then they turn around and act like it's only a couple of YouTube channels. Guys, that's not the case.
The Prime Minister has embarked on a campaign to reset our economic system. He parrots the language used by global elites, telling Canadians that he needs to use this pandemic in order to build back better. The problem with this radical agenda, however, is that it leaves Canadians in the lurch. Sadly, the criteria for the Prime Minister's better future is purposefully killing off industries that don't resonate with his reimagined, envisioned world. You see, supporting the Canadian energy sector won't get him into the suave parties held in Davos or a seat on the UN Security Council. So in his mind, the industry isn't worth investing in. As a proclaimed environmentalist, his anti-energy campaign is dumbfounding because Canada's oil and gas industry actually has some of the highest environmental standards in the world. Here, here. By restricting Canada's energy, he is indirectly boosting production in other countries where environmental protections don't exist and where human rights atrocities happen daily. The Prime Minister would rather...
That is such a relevant point to think about. Like, I'm not one for advocating for any oil industry, but think about how interesting it is that what they're doing is actually, whether intentional or not, making sure that what actually gets utilized is resources from the worst, the autocrats, the dictators, the authoritarian governments out there that the U.S. government and Israel and all their allies are openly working with as they pretend to fight against that very thing. Do you think that's an accident? This whole thing is very clearly designed. And that's what this person is telling you right now.
He is indirectly boosting production in other countries where environmental protections don't exist and where human rights atrocities happen daily. The Prime Minister would rather have unethical blood oil shipped into our country rather than having ethically produced oil shipped out. If the Prime Minister truly wants to build back better for Canadians, he must change his tune and he must stop supporting this local industry.
It's quite interesting. It's quite an interesting statement. And of course, that's coming from an argument that probably benefits other corporate entities. But at the end of the day, what they're saying is that this is not based in what they're claiming it is. Whatever's incentivizing her to make that statement, it doesn't really matter. The point is they're claiming that Justin Trudeau or any of these governments are marching to the beat of some much higher supranational entity. Right? That's what's happening here. And they're doing this in a way to build back better for some greater, larger, unrealistic, in my opinion, and unwarranted direction. Like, I've said this for a very long time, that we are in a very bad way in this country, in the world. Like, whether it's because of pollution, and I'm not talking about the concept, I mean, regardless, that we are doing things to this planet that we can all see, not to keep politics out of it. And the idea that we need to change our path is unbelievably clear. But at no point should that be something that is pushed on everybody. The only reason that we can't all go our directions and make things is because of government, because of corporations, because of the corporate and government connection, which ultimately is fascism. That's the concept of the blending between these two things. And that's where we live today, right? We keep telling ourselves we live in the dark democracy and we have all these great things. We're lying to ourselves. It's been that way for a long time. There's been numerous studies from Princeton and so on that at the very least say we live in an oligarchy. It's time for us to realize that. So what we're saying is that they are going to drive in their agendas at the expense of everything else that we still agree with. Remember when Whitney Webb talks about legacy systems, the concept that they're actually trying to weed out the things that they think hinder our growth as a country, which really means as a government, which hinders their growth and their achievements to overcome China in all these different categories. So they're going to get rid of things that we have ingrained into our lives, such as each of us owning a car or owning our own things, all kinds of things like this, which Americans don't want. We don't want to go in that direction. We don't want to go in the World Economic Forum Great Reset. And that's quite clear. But guess what? It's not your choice, according to these people. Why? Well, because of the virus and we can't control it. Talk about a convenient, well-planned excuse. And of course, then at the end of the day, it's not just about COVID-19, because this is going to become the new normal. They're going to continue to declare states of emergency based on the things that they want to claim are what you should care about. The UN chief is actually now calling for a global state of climate emergency. Do you realize how long that's been stated? Do you realize how much is undercutting the reality of what they're trying to make this out to be? And no, I'm not saying that we're not, like I just said, we are polluting this planet. We are destroying this planet. But that does not mean that we need to argue, that we need them to institute some kind of ridiculous carbon tax. Because all that does is make you pay for your pollution. And all that does is affect the people on the bottom. So corporations will just factor it in as another cost of doing business, just like their big fines they get for doing illegal crimes and continue to do them over and over and over because the governments allow it. You have to drive your car to work. That's not going to change. So you're going to have to pay more for that gas. That is the real effect. And everyone goes on doing the same thing. If we actually want to change these kind of things, we need to actually affect change in regard to what the problem is. Not your life, but the companies, the corporations, the government. The military of the U.S. government is the largest polluter on the planet. That is shown year after year after year. But sure, let's pretend that you need to pay more for your gas, and that'll solve the crisis. The idea of even bringing this up is not to get pulled into the climate crisis nonsense. I hate that I even have to comment on that. Obviously, we're destroying this planet. I think that's very clear. But there's obvious politics around this whole concept. But it's about the emergency, right? It's about the concept that they're declaring an emergency that affects your life and they claim affects your ability to live through your rights, what you can do in your daily life. This is not this. Mark my words. This is going to be the new direction. States of emergency, shutting things down, controlling your actions for the greater good. That is your great reset. Now, I think it's interesting as well, the UN aspect in all of this, right? This is the concept we're talking. We've talked about Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the idea of all. That's what I believe World Economic Forum is the new iteration of that agenda. But all of this is being based on the PCR test, which I believe, and I continue to say, is the linchpin around all of this. Now, I wanted to show, let me see real quick. I wanted to show you guys, just get this, there we go. I just want to show you guys really quickly some of the sidebar things I changed real quick. Only reason I want to show you is because of the video that I just added there that I recommend you all take a peek at. This one right here. The clips, the COVID-19 illusion, how COVID-19 testing and mainstream media hype is creating the pandemic that wasn't. That's just Odyssey loading the video. But this is the video. I'll try to include this for you to watch. Now, this is a clip from a larger show, but this is showing you the epidemic that wasn't and how the PCR test, as they admitted in 2007, I believe again, was why they had that epidemic that wasn't. It wasn't real at all. It went on for 8 months. No, why don't we even talk about that today? It's because it's being used to create your illusion. And they know that, in my opinion. Here is an Australian lawmaker testing Coca-Cola or a cola of some kind for COVID and claims a positive result return shows testing is worthless. It says an Australian lawmaker carried out a quick coronavirus test on a glass of cola during a speech, live in front of everybody, accusing the government of medical tyranny. After a few minutes, the test results apparently came back positive. This is not new. There's been all kinds of things like this. Here's another one. This is applesauce being tested positive for coronavirus. Turn off that music, otherwise they're going to hit me with something. But this is, you can scrutinize these. You could argue that they could be fake. Of course they could. But there's been endless tests. And by the way, we know that the test has a high prevalence of false positives. That's been reported in the mainstream media. So the fact that we have this kind of thing shows you, in a real world setting, that this thing can cause absolute false positives in regard to inanimate objects, your chair, applesauce, whatever. It's going to test in some cases positive for COVID-19. Now, doesn't that show you that we shouldn't be using? Yes, it does. It's painful how obvious this stuff is and how we continue to talk about Dr. Fauci and the discussion of how that test is not the cycle threshold is not being done correctly. Back in July, he said this and we're still doing it right now. Now, he doesn't move the camera the whole time. Just understand that. I don't want to wait another a minute and a half to see that it wasn't cut. But it ends up at the end without being cut as he zooms in as a positive test. You can watch it for yourself. It'll be in the show notes. But there's endless examples of not just Fauci, a lot of very relevant, very influential people saying that this is not being done correctly. But yet again. Well, actually, I have a video actually of Fauci. That's interesting. I forget which one this is. Let me look real quick. Fauci COVID vaccine transmission.
The answer is that we know that the vaccine is 95% effective in preventing you from getting sick. We don't know yet. It could be. I hope it is. But we don't know if it's protecting you against infection, which is the reason.
Yeah, that's an important one. That's not the one I wanted to show you, though, but it's relevant to what we're talking about, that it won't. It will not stop transmission, which means you can get other people sick. Anyway, I don't seem like I have it right here. I'm not sure, I swear I had that. But you guys remember the clip of Dr. Fauci saying that the cycle threshold over 37 is the chances of achieving what you're trying to achieve is minuscule. And we continue to do this right now. About 35 to 40 is where the vast majority, upwards of 40, of the cycle thresholds for PCR tests, that's where they're set around the states in this country. That is a guarantee to get false positives. They know this. The question is, why do they continue to do it? I think you know why. Now, on the note of the idea that these tests are potential false positives at all, and the fact that you have a right to your own bodily freedom, to your own medical freedom. Well, welcome to the tyrannical state of California. Northern California is they're beginning door-to-door virus testing. Door-to-door virus testing. That's just, it's unbelievable to me.
Now looking at the latest number.
Door-to-door virus testing. This is such an incredible violation of your rights. It's such an incredible violation of international law. It's a violation of damn near everything you can think of. But because you're in danger, apparently none of that matters, even though you're not actually in danger. Unbelievable. I have family that lives there, and I just think I can't even fathom how we've gotten to this point to where, briefly before we this started, people would have been screaming about how this would never happen, and they did. All their bleats about freedom and how we respect this and our government or loves our democracy. It's nonsense. You, as an American, are the one who cares about those things. Your government uses those ideas to manipulate you into believing they care about you. Time to put that childish idea to bed. Now, to end, on the same note of the PCR test, but the idea that all of this is a damn illusion, guys. Brian and I were talking on After Hours Live on Wednesday, and even the American Red Cross, I must have missed this one. And this is December 1st. This month, studies suggest possible new COVID-19 timeline, right? They are refusing to let this into the mainstream media. The government won't talk about it, and they're still blaming China. Trump just called it the China virus in his last speech, and we have endless examples that this was everywhere before they saw it in China, which doesn't mean, as a matter of fact, that it still didn't start in China, but it very clearly means you can't continue to just argue that, well, that means they continue to not tell us, because we have yet to prove that it actually started there. No one has. That's a fact. So when we see evidence of it being earlier places, well, that should immediately undercut the argument that it started in China. At the very least, make you question it. In the U.S., the first COVID infection was reported on January 19th. These study results show that it's possible COVID-19 may have been present in the U.S. in December 2019. This is not possible, guys. It's been shown almost unequivocally. I've been showing you countless studies about this. We see it in Spain, in Japan, in Taiwan, in Italy, in Canada, in all these different countries. They're saying we see this as early as mid-2019. Canada and China see it in frozen waste samples all the way back in 2013. Yes, they called it earlier, that was an earlier mutation, arguably, but they're claiming that's the case. That challenges everything we know about this, and nobody in the media wants to talk about it. This is the Red Cross, for crying out loud. This is not some fringe website. It says the findings of this study indicate that it is possible the virus that caused COVID-19 may have been present in California, Oregon, Washington, as early as December 13th to 16th in 2019, and in Connecticut, Iowa, Massachusetts, Michigan, Rhode Island, and Wisconsin as early as December 30th, 2019. Why is this not being discussed? You can't continue to make this stupid argument. This is from the Daily Mail. It says, coronavirus was found in Italian boy, 4 years old, in November 2019. Study finds in latest evidence that China hid COVID-19 from the world? I mentioned this in a previous show, but for crying out loud, guys, this is how pathetic the state of mainstream journalism is. Because the narrative is it started in China, you have to just toe the line. If you find evidence that this started before it was seen in China, and you've still never proven that it started in China, how can you then just argue that that means they hid it until now? That is leaning into what you want to be the truth based on nothing but your opinion and politics. If you saw it in November in Italy, and that was the only earlier time you saw it, and you had no proof it started in China other than seeing it there in Wuhan, then you should then argue it maybe started in Italy. Or maybe started in Canada, or wherever else the earliest part of this is. But no, they're just pivoting right into, well, see, China lied because it was everywhere before they told us. That's just ignorant. But I know you guys know this because you're highly intelligent. But to finish off today, realize that the World Economic Forum, regardless of what's happening, is absolutely capitalizing on this concept. They're using the virus to scare you into allowing this change. And they're even arguing that the change, and look, here's the better point about all this. Not only are they changing what we see as our current reality, but they're changing in ways that stick into the minds of children the concept of masks and antivirus lab kits as the status quo. So, Are we claiming this will be over with vaccines, or some point we'll go back to some new semblance of normal? While the World Economic Forum trains your kids that this current status quo is the new normal. As always, guys, they have not failed. They have not even faltered at continuing to tell you that this is the new normal. They've all said that, and you just don't want to hear it. Realize that this concept of mask toys and antiviral play kits for children is the direction that they're driving you in and not the temporary holdover. So it's time, guys, to just wake up from this political stupor that we find ourselves in and challenge anything that's being stated from government, from mainstream media, and look at it for yourself. Research, think, critical thinking. I mean, it's never been more important for you to take it on yourself. The onus is on you to be smart enough to research it and to come up to your own conclusions about all of it. At one point in this world, in this country, that was a highly sought after trait. Now it's conspiracy theory. Think about how telling that is. So I'll leave you with that video on the way out. I love you all. Thank you for being here. Thank you for thinking for yourselves. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.